This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a moment in the interrogation footage that stops people cold in this case. Courtney Clinney, who is the OnlyFans model. You may have heard of this one. The OnlyFans model trial. Yeah, this is what it is. It's the one where she was twerking in court during a hearing and given the big old duck lips thing to the camera. You know, like you do when you're being tried for murder. But there is a moment in the interrogation footage that stops people cold. Courtney Clinney has been sitting in that room for hours. It's covered in blood, her boyfriend's blood. And she's been talking to Miami detectives about what happened in their apartment earlier that afternoon. She's told them the story. She threw a knife from 10 feet away to scare him off. She didn't stab him. She was defending herself. She called 911. She tried to help him. Then the detectives leave the room. They come back and they tell her, Christian is dead. Her boyfriend. Her response on tape, Christian is dead? Oh my God, that's not real, right? Can I please have a hug? That's a reaction of someone who is void of empathy or human emotion. How? Why? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm sure there's a trauma story behind Courtney Clinney. Probably quite a few, quite honestly. And if you look back, I'm sure it's sad. I'm sure it's disturbing. And I'm sure it's, like, God. I don't even know her backstory, and I'm sure there's something like that there. But it doesn't excuse the behavior. When your whole life is a performance based solely on your physicality, and that's all people want for, and that's all you have the energy to give them, or that you choose to give them. Sometimes that emotional aspect, the parts in matter, the parts in life that truly matter, they're not there. And sometimes that ability to connect with other human beings and understand the difference between right and wrong and murder and not murder is also gone. Doesn't exist when you're asking the people who just told you your boyfriend is dead and you likely did it. Can I have a hug? That's not how that works, Courtney. Neither does twerking in court. People watch that moment and they split immediately. Some see women coming apart, genuine shock, genuine grief. Everybody grieves differently, remember? Yeah. There's a healthy and an unhealthy way. There's genuine shock, there's genuine grief. Someone who threw a knife to create distance and didn't know it would kill him. Others watch that exact same tape and see something else, something rehearsed, something hollow, something very strange. Here's what I want you to understand before we go any further. Both of these reads are reasonable. That's not a cop-out. That is the case. This is the situation where we're missing facts. We have the tape. We have the recordings. We have the medical examiner's report. We have surveillance footage. We have police body cam. We have text messages. We have years of documented incidents across multiple cities. We have all of it. And none of it has settled this, because this case is not a question of what happened. It's a question of what it means. And on April 27th, 12 people in a Miami courtroom are going to have to pick one meaning and live with it. Let's start with who these two people actually were. And I'm curious to get your thoughts in the comment section as we work our way through it. Christian Abloomsey, 27 years old, Nigerian American, grew up in Dallas, Texas, went to Plano East Senior High School, graduated Texas Tech with a degree in communications and business management, built his own company, Wiseman and Peachtree LLC, was working as a cryptocurrency trader. By every account from people who knew him, soft-spoken, kind, someone with a life he was actively building. His cousin, Karen Igbona, stood in front of a camera days after his death and said, "This devastation doesn't quite describe what my family is experiencing right now." Yesterday, we finally told our 93-year-old grandmother that her grandson, who is expected to come home for his 28th birthday, will no longer ever be returning home. His brother, Jeffrey, was more direct. "I do believe she is the killer." Christian Oblumsey is buried in Dallas. He was 9 days from turning 28. Courtney Clenny, 26 at the time. Online, she was Courtney Taylor. Over 2 million Instagram followers, reportedly more than $3 million earned on OnlyFans since 2020. A public figure with a platform and an image she had spent years building, but the person behind that image, the one her family and closest people described as someone who had been struggling long before April 3rd. She'd been treated for substance abuse. She had PTSD diagnosis. People who knew her privately described someone who was not the curated version online, someone who had her own fractures and her own pain running underneath the surface. Her attorneys describe her as a domestic violence survivor, a woman who went to police, who asked for help, who tried to get out of something she felt trapped inside, and who has failed at every turn. Her attorney, Frank Pietro, has said it plainly. She called 911 that day. She tried to stop the bleeding. She did not flee the scene. And from the first moment she spoke to investigators, she has maintained she was defending her life. They met in November 2020, moved in together. And from nearly the beginning, by almost every account, this relationship was violently unstable. Both sides agreed to that much. Were they part ways completely without any middle ground? Is on who was doing it to whom. Austin first, then Las Vegas, then Aspen, then Miami. Police calls in multiple cities. Documented incidents across 2 years. A luxury high-rise in Miami at $10,000 a month that the building was preparing to take back from them over the constant disturbances. 2 days before the stabbing, April 1st, building security called Miami to police to report a domestic disturbance. Officers responded. There is body cam footage from that call. Both sides point to the same trail of incidents and see completely different things. The prosecution sees a man absorbing escalating violence from an aggressor who documented him as her target. The defense sees a woman trapped with someone who was dangerous when the doors were closed and careful when they weren't, and who had the recordings to prove she was the problem, whether or not they told the whole story. Now, here's where the two versions of this case split, and they split hard. The prosecution's evidence is built largely around what Christian Oblumsey was doing in the weeks and months before he died. He had started secretly recording his interactions with Clenny. Hidden phone in his pocket, mostly audio, occasionally video. What those recordings capture was disturbing. Clenny screaming at him, hurling racial slurs, calling him the N-word repeatedly, demanding to hit him. And in at least one recording, the sound of a slap. In one clip, the argument had started because Oblumsey said hello to a woman he passed on a bike ride and didn't mention it. That was enough. You can hear her on tape. "Shut up and let me effing slap you, dumbass." And another recording from the building lobby, one the judge has ruled inadmissible for trial, Oblumsey's voice comes through low and controlled. "That's an effing threat. I asked you something and I apologized, but you hit me." And then there's the next message, not a recording, something he wrote to her. "Is love going to kill me?" Building elevator surveillance footage captured Clenny striking Oblumsey in a prior incident months before April 3rd. The prosecution's read of it all, pattern, sustained, documented, escalating, and it ended in a stabbing. Now here's the defense's read on that same body of evidence. And you need to sit with this because it is not something that you can just walk away from. It's not nothing. Clenny's attorneys argue that Oblumsey recorded selectively, that he would deliberately provoke her, push her until she reacted, and then capture the reaction on tape while his own behavior stayed off the record. And then the defense alleges he would use those recordings as leverage, threaten to show them to friends and family, hold them over her head, that they argue is a specific calculated form of psychological control, the kind that leaves no marks and no police reports because it's designed not to. Defense attorney Frank Pietro stated on the record that an independent writing saw Oblumsey hitting Clenny in the head inside their apartment when he believed no one was watching. That witness exists. That account was given to investigators. And the body cam footage from that April 1st call 2 days before the stabbing includes Clenny telling the responding officers she wanted a restraining order against Oblumsey. She asked for protection from him. It's in the police record. The security guard on that same call told officers he had watched Oblumsey come charging toward Clenny in the lobby. Also in the record, her attorneys have been unambiguous. Courtney Clenny is a victim of domestic violence who was failed by every system that should have protected her. Two versions, both with evidence, both with witnesses, neither one clean. Before we go and say, well, I'm going to be on this side or that side, you know, there is a world that exists where domestic violence can be brought onto each partner simultaneously by the other, where it's not all one side is right. It's where both sides are completely wrong. And when you have two people, two tornadoes spinning together simultaneously and nothing truly stopping them, someone usually dies. And it's not a clean story. It's not the, oh, I was being abused and I had no choice. And sometimes when you put two things together that do not work, you get an explosion. Now we get to April 3rd, and this is where the physical evidence enters and where the case becomes genuinely uncomfortably complicated. They'd broken up a week before, made up a day prior. Sunday afternoon, they went to Subway together, came back to the apartment, and argument started over phone location sharing. At 4:30 in the afternoon, Oblumsey was at the apartment. Things escalated fast. A neighbor called 911 11 minutes before Clenny did, reporting a disturbance coming from the unit. Building security arrived at the door, knocked on the door, heard yelling through it. According to the Oblumsey family civil lawsuit, security stood outside that door for approximately 12 minutes and did not go in. Then Clenny called. Christian had been stabbed. She was trying to help him. Her account to detectives, Oblumsey pushed her, threw her to the floor, grabbed her by the throat. She grabbed a 6-inch kitchen knife and threw it at him from roughly 10 feet away to scare him off. An interrogation on tape, I for dang sure did not stab him. That would be insane. I thought I would scare him by just grabbing it. Also on tape, unprompted, I am certainly a crazy person too. I am aggressive in particular. You think? The Miami-Dade chief medical examiner looked at the wound and reached a different conclusion. The fatal injury was 3 inches deep into the chest. It severed the subclavian artery. The medical examiner described it as a forceful downward thrust. The conclusion was direct. This would have not been caused by a knife thrown from 10 feet away. The depth, the angle, the force required, none of it is consistent with a thrown weapon. If the ME is right, what happened in the apartment was physically different. In distance, in force, in proximity from the act Courtney Clenny described to police. The defense's answer to that is Dr. Lenore Walker, the researcher who pioneered battered women syndrome theory. The argument is a person acting in genuine terror, moving on pure survival instinct, can produce actions that outpace their own conscious memory of events. The body moves before the mind processes what's happening. That 3-inch wound, the defense argues, does not require intent to kill. It requires fear. A defense-retained expert in the separate wrongful death civil case reviewed the same physical evidence and reportedly reached conclusions that, according to Clenny's attorney, significantly undermined the state's second-degree murder theory. Their position, at best, this was reckless conduct, not murder. There's a legal and moral distance between those two things. And this trial is going to have to cross it. And then there's the matter of the investigation itself, because this is not a sidebar. This goes directly to whether the case against Courtney Clenny was built on solid ground or compromised ground. Prosecutors allegedly accessed privileged communication between Clenny, her parents, and her attorneys, including what a circuit judge later found were confidential defense strategy documents. That judge ruled the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office violated attorney-client privilege. The computer tampering charges filed against Clenny's parents related to Oblumsey's laptop were dropped directly as a result of that ruling. The defense filed motions to disqualify the entire prosecutor's office from the murder case on the grounds that the state had seen the defense's playbook before trial. That motion was ultimately denied, but the underlying finding stands. The state violated privilege, and the case moved forward anyway. That'll be great for appeal. The defense also alleges that a building employee who entered the apartment before police arrived and filmed photos and videos inside was told to delete everything. That evidence is gone. What it showed, no one will ever know. Blood evidence, the defense has alleged, was destroyed. A witness they have alleged was withheld. She's been in jail without bond since August of 22, over 3.5 years, not convicted, not tried, waiting. Her attorneys have argued repeatedly that she's broke, not a flight risk, and that defendants in comparable self-defense cases have been released on bond and allowed to go home. The judge has said no every time. During those 3.5 years, Oblumsey's family has been waiting too. They learned of his death when a medical examiner called to ask about organ donation. That's how they found out their son, their brother, their grandson was gone. Hey, can we take his organs? Have a great day. They've raised the racial dimension of this case publicly and directly. He was black, she is white, and the 4 months between the stabbing and the arrest have never been adequately explained to their satisfaction. That question will be in the room when the trial begins, whether it is spoken out loud or not. The charge is second-degree murder. In Florida, that carries a potential life sentence. The defense is pushing for manslaughter, recklessness, without the depraved intent that second-degree murder requires. The distance between those two outcomes is not a legal technicality. For the families on both sides of this, it's everything. Trial starts April 27th. Prosecutors expect it to be done in under 2 weeks. Christian Oblumsey wrote, "Is love going to kill me?" to the woman now charged with his murder. He was afraid of something, whether it was her or whether she was equally afraid of him is a question that has driven nearly 4 years of legal combat, public argument, delayed justice, and 2 families' unresolved grief. 12 people are about to be asked to answer it. We'll be there for it every day, keeping you updated. Your thoughts in the comments on YouTube and Substack. This case is going to open up a lot of questions. It's going to open up a lot of thoughts on the mental state of everybody involved here. And when people go down certain roads in life, what that means. We're going to get into it. Give me your thoughts in the comments section. There's no right or wrong. We'll continue our conversation there. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts, so you don't miss any of our coverage and commentary on any of these cases. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.